Welcome back, everyone. Well, thanks very much for that before, Pierre. We're caffeinated now.
We're all caffeinated.
Good to go for the next section. And in our next section, you've got me this time. And we're going to be looking at migrating clustering to Windows Server 2012 R2. So there's quite a lot of interesting things to go through here. We're going to do a bit of a demo, really focusing on the wizard-driven interface that we have to copy across a number of different cluster roles that you may have been running in Windows Server 2008 R2. Before we talk about that, though, there's two major cluster migration approaches that we want to think about here and deal with before we move on. And then we'll, as I said, give you a bit of a demo as we go later on. So in terms of our approaches, there's really two main approaches when it comes to migrating clustering from one version of Windows to another, specifically in this instance talking about Windows Server 2008 R2. Firstly, we can choose to do a migration between two multi-node clusters, and this is where we already have an established Windows Server 2008 R2 cluster in place, and it's running whatever roles it's running. Let's say it's running file server. Okay. We've got ourselves a clustered file server, a couple of nodes in there, working really nicely. And what we effectively want to do is just decommission that. And we don't want to go through all the pain and suffering of having to, you know, manually migrate everything. So what we'll do is we'll literally go ahead and we'll build a brand new Windows Server 2012 R2 cluster. And we'll utilize a tool that came out back in the days of Windows Server 2008 called the Copy Cluster Roles Wizard.
Yep.
And what this will effectively do is we'll connect to our shared storage on the new cluster, making the assumption here we're not migrating the storage as well. And your storage could be, you know, being provided by any type of shared storage infrastructure. And we'll run that particular wizard that will connect to our old cluster, migrate the roles across, and essentially give us control of that particular role. And then we'll decommission that old cluster. And that's the one that we're really going to be looking at in the demonstration coming up fairly soon.
So really it's a side-by-side migration that you're building.
Pretty much, exactly right. Yeah, side-by-side migration is probably the best way we would describe that. Now, the other methodology that we have is an in-place migration. And an in-place migration is basically where we evict one or two of the nodes from the old cluster and we rebuild them from scratch using Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, in this case, the example we're going to be really be giving here is where we're moving a Hyper-V cluster where we've got a whole bunch of different VMs. So what we're doing is, you know, we're adding the appropriate roles to the new cluster and then creating a new cluster and adding the appropriate roles to it. We're then running that migration wizard to migrate all of the VMs from the old cluster to the new. So we're effectively migrating our VM infrastructure from one cluster to another. Now, that will end up with our VMs in an off state when they arrive at the other side. So we will incur a downtime here. And this is when we're dealing with, you know, those traditional clusters as opposed to the marvellous way in which we can do things now. With a Hyper-V cluster in Windows Server 2012, we can quite easily migrate between versions of Windows Server 2012.
But when because you can't do a share nothing live migration if you're coming from a 2008.
Well, exactly right. So in a 2008 type scenario, we are forced to be using, you know, shared storage. We have no choice. So when it comes to doing that migration, we are going to incur a downtime. And once we've done that migration, we can destroy our old cluster and rebuild the old nodes into Server 2012 R2 and join them into the new cluster. But life becomes a hell of a lot easier when you're starting from a base of Windows Server 2012, because when you're starting from a base of Windows Server 2012, we now get the capability of doing shared nothing live migration. And shared nothing live migration, for those of you that aren't aware of it, is basically a live migration pattern that doesn't require any shared infrastructure whatsoever from the source to the destination cluster or server that we're migrating to.
Other than an Ethernet cable.
Well, that kind of helps. If you don't have network connectivity between the two, you've got a few problems. I'm sure you could try doing some kind of sneakernet type migration, but it's probably not going to work out too well for you.
And right? I think sneakernet will incur some kind of downtime.
No, I would say so. So as long as we've got an Ethernet connection between the source and the destination server, we can quite easily migrate between the two. Of course, we have the ability now with Server 2012 and Server 2012 R2 to do in-place upgrades of the cluster nodes, to migrate between those particular cluster nodes from one version of the OS to another without a problem at all. So it becomes a hell of a lot easier. However, when we're talking about it from 2008, we do have that constraint. In terms of the Source and Target OS versions, when it comes to looking at where we're migrating from and where we're migrating to, there are a few things in place that you need to be aware of. And you'll see there on the screen, basically what happened is our cluster migration wizard came out with Windows Server 2008 SP2 and was available in every version of the operating system from that particular point in time. So when it comes to looking at migrating a cluster to Windows Server 2012 R2, you'll see there that we basically support every version of the OS with that wizard from 2008 SP2 upwards. So fairly comprehensive there.
So no 2003 R2?
No, absolutely not. So this is not something that we're going to be able to do with a simple wizard when it comes to 2003. You're going to go through a lot more of a procedural...
crowbar and shovel.
Exactly, is really what we're trying to say there. All right. There are some other considerations you need to take into account there as well. Now, when it comes to the copy cluster wizard, so the copy cluster roles wizard is one of those things that probably isn't as well known as it could be. So we want to take you through a little bit of information about that before we go ahead and actually demonstrate how this might work. So basically, the cluster roles wizard will connect to your old cluster, will then interrogate that old cluster to determine what roles are available on that cluster.
Where were you on the night of the 23rd?
Well, exactly, that's right. Yeah, shining a light straight into the cluster's eyes. We've got a good wizard and a bad wizard, similar to the way similar to the way it always goes. So hopefully you've chosen to run the good wizard. And it's going to gently ask the cluster what it is that you're actually running. And we're going to get a report back there of all of the services and applications that are available for us. And it will only show us the services and applications that it's capable of migrating. I don't want to set expectations too high here, because it's not capable of migrating every single service and application. Which ones is it capable, I hear you say? Just bear with me for a moment. We'll get there in a sec.
Took the words right out of my
mouth. Don't want to rush things here. This is delicate. So once we've determined which it is that we want to move across, what it will do is it will move those, migrate those across, will give us a report to indicate whether it succeeded or failed. And, you know, that's particularly important. We can also simulate what we're going to do as well to get an idea as to whether or not we're likely to succeed.
Kind of like a PowerShell what if.
Exactly, kind of like a PowerShell what if. So that becomes incredibly important to us as well, because we need a backup plan. And the easier the backup plan is, the better as far as we're concerned. All righty.
Actually, backout plan is if you're into any kind of public sector environments or environments that are regulated for change managements to be compliant with change management's regulation, you need to always have a documented backout plan.
Absolutely
so
right.
By doing a migration as opposed to an upgrade, you always have your backup plan because your target, your source server really never changes.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So what we'll do now is we'll just look at our storage. So when we're doing this with the copy cluster roles wizard, we're assuming the storage is going to be reused between the old cluster and the new cluster, and that's particularly important. If you are going to migrate your storage as well, then you need to put that into your plan at some point. When are we going to do that? Are we going to do that later? Are we going to do that first before we move across? What is going to be the easiest for us? And really what that comes down to is whatever procedures are available to you through the vendor you've chosen for your storage. You know, have a look at that, determine whether or not it makes sense to migrate storage before migrating the roles or vice versa.
Yes, because depending on the version of your source and target, you may not be able to do a live storage migration, for example. You may have to actually have your downtime, migrate your data to the new storage, and then once that new storage is full, then actually bring up your other nodes and start using it.
Exactly right. And the other thing we need to think about too is in the with the assumption that you're not necessarily doing a Hyper-V migration at this point as well, how are we going to deal with that storage? This could be a file server that we're moving around. This could be clustered SQL that we're needing to move. And indeed, you can't move clustered SQL with the move cluster roles wizard anyway, because that is not something that we actually support through that. And that's something that I'll deal with in just a moment. So
The same process we talked about earlier, though, does apply.
Oh, absolutely right. Absolutely
inventory and catalog what you've got running on that cluster. Like you said, SQL can't be moved with the clustered wizard, the wizard. I believe Exchange can be moved with the wizard.
Exchange can't be moved either.
So you've got, or if you've got third party that the wizard doesn't know about.
Exactly.
You always have to look at to what you're running into those clusters, onto those nodes. Are you into active type of scenario, or into an active passive, and then make your plan according to that?
Definitely. And I think it's really worth mentioning here too, and pointing back to the fact that that four-step migration process that Pierre was talking about before is not something that you should think of in terms of 2003 in isolation. Absolutely not. And we don't want to give you the impression that, that's a process you take only in 2003. You need to be doing this every time you plan a migration from one operating system to another. Now, in terms of the wizard roles that we do actually support, I should say the roles we support within the copy cluster roles wizard, there's a number here that have been supported for a while and some that are reasonably new. Now, the roles that have been supported in the copy cluster roles wizard since 2012 released are in red here. So, you know, clearly we're looking at things like Hyper-V VMs and VM configuration. Scale-out file server is definitely a Server 2012 thing. We didn't have the scale-out file server before
2012.
R2? Server 2012, R2. CSV disks and storage pools are new as well. So storage pools and storage spaces have obviously been around since the RTM. Now, if you're looking at things that we've always supported through the copy cluster roles wizard, so there's a lot of stuff we're dealing with here, particularly in our demonstration today. We're dealing with the file server.
Yep.
But if, for instance, you're doing clustered DHCP, you are going to approach this in a different way potentially than what we did in the demonstration before. Now, in the demonstration before, we were looking at Windows Server 2003, so we didn't have an ability here.
I was just about to say, with 2012 and 2012 R2, there is really no point to clustering DHCP anymore because you can, out of the box, do a DHCP failover built into the DHCP service without having to depend on a cluster to actually handle that high availability.
Absolutely right. If you are running an old 2008 cluster and you need to migrate it in a very temporary fashion, you could do so. But you're absolutely spot on because at the end of the day, adding something to a cluster increases its complexity. And if we look at DHCP failover as a solution, it's incredibly easy. It's incredibly light in terms of what it actually its imprint on the servers and on the network as a whole, and it works really, really well. And if you're looking at other MVA courses, there's a number on Server 2012 and Server 2012 R2 that actually do cover DHCP failover in one way, shape, or form. It's definitely something to look at. And indeed, in TechEd's past, if you go and have a look at some sessions from 2013 in North America, probably this year as well, I would be very surprised if it hadn't been mentioned somewhere. You'll be able to get a lot more information on that too.
Yep.
Anyway, so we've got quite a few wizards that we support, roles that we support. The roles that we don't support. Now, really major applications here have their own clustering scenarios documented differently and built in differently. So with SQL Server and Exchange Server, you are going to follow the standard procedures that are, you know, documented by the product teams for those. We don't migrate the print spooler.
So no clustered paper jam?
No clustered paper jam. Unfortunately not. So you're going to have to sort that one out yourself. The remote desktop connection broker, okay, not aware of this wizard at this particular point in time. Interesting one that I see here, which I find a little bit confusing myself, but nevertheless, it is in one of the lists that's not supported, is cluster aware updating, given that this is something that first came out in Windows Server 2012. So one of those ones I would have thought is there isn't. So just something to be aware of. The report is incredibly important to us. Okay, this report is gold, and as Pierre was mentioning before, this report that we can produce, whether as a simulation or as an overall execution, basically gives us information about whether or not the failover cluster migrated properly, and if it didn't migrate properly, what was wrong, and also adds in resolution information, which gets saved out to Windows cluster reports once it gets run. So basically, it interrogates everything. It ensures that everything is working correctly. And again, we can use that simulation report as a backup plan as well.
Yeah, and I actually, I've always been a big fan of the clustering reports. Especially, I used to be, before I was a technology evangelist, I was with Premier and support. Mm. And I would always get these calls from customers saying, okay, something's gone wrong in my cluster, and I'm not an engineer. I don't have access to the tools that our support engineers do, but I would just ask them, have you run the report on it? And they'd say, no. So, okay, just connect to a node and run the report. And they can run the report, and then it would come out with one warning or one X, red X, that would say, okay, that drive mapping or that connection is gone. Mm. So, like, there's your error.
That's right. It makes it very plain and simple, which is exactly what we need. All right, so why don't we start looking at a demo of this? We'll just jump straight into our virtual machine. And, oh, someone forgot to reset his
password?
No, it wasn't my password that there was a problem there. I forgot to reset my power options to stop the thing from going to sleep. So that was a little bit unfortunate, but never mind. All right, so if we very quickly, I have a number of virtual machines here. We're going to just quickly jump onto our DC because right now on our domain controller, we'll just put that in full screen mode. We have a clustered file server currently running on Windows Server 2008 R2, and I'm just going to connect across to that. Cluster one, like so. And you can see there that I have a shared folder called data. And in that shared folder called data, I have an important image, a really important doco, and as you can see, the plans for Windows for the next 20 years. So we don't want to make sure that we don't lose access to that information at any stage, right?
Or leak it.
Well, we certainly wouldn't want to leak that. As you can see, that is a massive document as well. So we'll... Yeah, it's going to take a while to copy onto that network drive. So what we'll do is we'll just jump across very quickly and have a look at our current cluster. So as we can see here, this is our current Server 2008 cluster. If we just expand that out there, we can see cluster one here. We have ourselves a server name resource currently sitting on 192.168.1.230, our file server resource, and our, volume resource as well. And everything's fine, everything's dandy, it's working perfectly.
So it's humming along.
It's humming along. And what we want to now do is we want to move that cluster across to Windows Server 2012 R2 to be able to take advantage of all of the benefits that we get with that new version of the operating system. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we have connected to our storage on Server 2012 R2. Now, we could look at this across multiple nodes, but I don't intend to bore everyone with repeating the same thing over and over again. So I'll show you on one and then we'll move across.
I was looking forward to that.
Sorry, man. So as you can see, I know it's disappointing. As you can see, we're here on our first node, like so. Now let's just open up the control panel here, jump into our iSCSI initiator, and you can see that we actually are connected to our old storage, and we're also connected to some new storage that we're using for some other roles as well. So we have connected across to the storage that is currently being utilised by Windows Server 2008 R2. Now, the next thing we want to do is actually go ahead and start migrating this particular cluster. So I'll open up Failover Cluster Manager.
So the cluster wizard does take take care of the LUN ownership.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
It's always important because you can't have two.
You don't want two owners of the LUN or we're going to be in real strife.
Yeah.
So as we can see here, we have our cluster set up already. You'll see that we have no roles currently running at this particular point in time. And we do have some new storage that we've provisioned for later on whenever we need that.
But if you keep it that way, then you can say to your management that you've got a cluster that has been going along for like months and months without any problems.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. So now what we want to do is actually move that cluster role. So we're going to go into more actions here, and you'll see that under more actions we have the copy cluster roles option. And hitting escape today is not, there we go. It's not working for me. And we'll choose copy cluster roles. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to specify our old cluster. So we will browse for our file cluster here, which is the one that is currently running on Windows Server 2008.
And it gets that clustered list from?
It gets that cluster. So what it's doing here is it's querying AD for the different AD resources. Yeah. So, you know, obviously make sure that AD is up to date, which your cluster wouldn't be working anyway if it wasn't.
True.
And, checks all of that out and then utilises that to connect to interrogate those roles. Now, we can see here that we have cluster one, and that is giving us a tick to indicate that it is in a position where it can be copied across. So immediately, as soon as we start looking at the wizard, it's testing the roles at the other end and ensuring that we're in a good place, that we're going to be able to do this. And if you are not sure of exactly what we can do there, then you've got a view report button here, and this is where, of course, I'll use my recommended security settings, and this is where it's indicating to us whether or not we're in a good place. so we can take that data, we can import that and bring that into our backup plan and so on and so forth, so that we are, you know, well and truly ready to do this.
And if it wasn't a green check mark, if it was a yellow triangle or a red X, by clicking on it, would actually give you more information exactly. as to how you deal with it.
Exactly, that's right. And that's really important too, because we do document what's wrong, and we also attempt to provide you with a solution, as opposed to certain other products that we may have had in the past that were very, very good at giving you error information and not so good at following up. I don't know if anyone's ever seen, I'm pretty sure you all have, you ever opened up Event Viewer in the past and been given an event message that was in English but was still apparently in a language other than English for those of you that are English speakers? That could be pretty difficult in the old days. Well, you know, these days we're a lot better at actually documenting what we found and what to do about it. And of course, if you need more of that type of information, we also have some other products such as System Center 2012, R2 Operations Manager, that will give us information about things going wrong and how fix them. All righty. Well, what we'll do is we'll get back into this wizard now and we'll hit next. Okay, and basically it's just showing us which disks are being migrated, and you can see here that we are reusing the storage from the old cluster in this case, and we will start copying across everything. All right, now we can now see we have a report to indicate what actually happened, like so. We're going through every step of the process. We'll click finish there. And now we'll have a look at our roles, and you can see at the moment our role is stopped. So what we'll do is we'll bring that online. And what we should probably do there too is just give you a look at the resources here. And you can see that currently the cluster disk has come online. Our cluster information in Active Directory has come online almost. And then we'll bring the file server online. And we can see that we're now up and running. So you know, a minuscule downtime there. Now, if we go back to our domain controller and just bring up our cluster one, you'll see that we're still up and running, and I can continue to do whatever it is that I need to do. Like so. And Kyle doesn't know what I'm doing at the moment, but that's all right. For some reason or other, my caps lock key has decided it's on when it's not, but never mind. So our cluster
is... because Kyle is important.
That's Kyle is very important. So as you can see, everything's still running just fine. If we go back to our old cluster now, like so, you'll see that we are now completely offline. We've removed that, and what we can do now is go and destroy this cluster, remove all of the nodes, and decommission the servers. So it's a fairly simple process, nothing terribly difficult there, really, at the end of the day.
But you actually have to make a point, even in your documentation and your step-by-step migration process, to outline the fact that you have to go back and kill that original cluster. Because at some point, if you just leave it there turned off, somebody's going to turn it on and say, hey, that cluster is turned off for some reason, and turn it on and then create a havoc in your environment.
Absolutely right. So we don't want to forget about the fact that that we've had that up and running. So, you know, really at the end of the day, what we're trying to do there is just make your life a hell of a lot easier. Now, if you had been through migration of clusters from NT4 across to Windows 2000, Windows 2000 across to Windows Server 2003, the process was incredibly difficult in comparison. If you were being paid by the hour, you became a rich person.
Just the installation process was incredibly difficult.
If you remember
then.
Installing Wolfpack? That was not a pleasant experience necessarily.
Nope.
We've come a long way since then. All right. If we look at our demo, our slides now. So just in summary there, very quickly, we had our two migration approaches in place and cluster to cluster. And of course, we have our copy cluster wizard, which we've looked at there as well. If you get on to your TechNet Virtual Labs website, I do believe there are some labs around clustering. I don't think there are any around migrating necessarily, but definitely some hands-on labs around actually building clusters. And if you want to know more about clustering, then that's definitely a good place to start. All right, well, we are in a position now where I do believe we need to start swapping seats. So, Pierre, thank you so much for this morning. It has been really, really good. I've really enjoyed your company here, and I'm hopefully everybody else has on the stream as well. So, canitpro.net.
Eh?
Get onto that website, favorite that website, make it your homepage, eh?
Maybe we can get you to do a couple of guest posts for us.
Hey, I would love to. Maybe you can do some guest posts for me as well. That way I don't have to do the guest posts in Australia.
That'd be great.
All right.
I do not end my sentences with A all the time.
Oh, why not?
It's about time.
All right, guys, we'll take a quick break now. And when we come back, we have someone new to meet.
That's right. Kyle, the important one.